think we have a lot of XICF family and friends in the Philippines, right? It would be good. When you're having it in the Philippines, have it in Cebu. Cebu have nice beach resorts so that I can come as well. And I want us to watch a video. Technical team, is the video ready? Okay, so I wanted us to watch a video. I wanted us to watch a video in the sense they want to send some greetings all the way from the U.S. and they're extending their love. One thing I know for sure is if you are here in this point in time, the Lord wants you to be here. There's something that the Lord has in store for you here. And majority of the time, it's not just about what you can get, but majority of the time, it's also about what you can give. So even as you are here, I don't want you to be secluded from the family. You know, there are some people in the church who are naturally quiet. Someone like me, I don't talk so much. Why are you? So literally the idea is sometimes we shy away from people, but I want to encourage you. Even if it's just saying hello, even if it's a text message, even if it's a prayer time, you're going to send someone a prayer, you'll definitely be a blessing. So we are going to watch this, and after that, we'll just pray a bit, and then we'll continue with our sermon. So are we good
hello,
to go?
Hello, XICF. Yeah, certainly.
Great.
Hello, XICF. Certainly miss you. And, you know, you can take us out of Shaman, but you can't take Shaman out of us. So we miss you and love you.
You know, gods of the world are idols. Jehovah is the most high God.
Hi, XICF. This is Pete and Kimberly Craig. And we're here together at the XICF reunion with a lot of old friends. Having a lot of great memories about our time in Xiamen, and we pray for you that God would continue to build up your unity as you are unified with Him, as you receive His truth into your heart and let it grow and bear fruit. And we trust in God that He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus.
Bless you. We love you. You are the most high. 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 You are the most high.
We have had an amazing retreat. We miss you guys. It was so special. We had friends from all over the U.S. and Mexico come together. We remembered the wonderful times we had together in our deep and special relationships with one another, and talked about life and how we live separately our lives after Xiamen. And Debbie said you can take us out of Xiamen, but you can't take Xiamen out of us. But we miss you, we love you, and we can't wait to see you soon in heaven, if not before.
ICF. The Thompsons miss you very much.
Yes, we miss you. Bye-bye.
Hello, XICF family. We are the Oreas, sending Mexican love from Texas.
Hi.
Hey.
Love you.
Love you.
Anime.
Amen, amen, amen. And it's amazing how the Lord wires our lives in such a way that we meet people whom we are destined to meet at times when we are destined to meet. And I just want to use this opportunity to encourage you that in Christ we have a sense of purpose. In Christ we have a sense of direction. In Christ, our lives are following a trajectory even as the Lord has ordained it to be. And even as there will be times of trouble, there will be times of pain, there will be times of... Just know that in Christ, your life is led according to purpose. Amen. And just be encouraged. Some of you are asking, why am I in Xiamen at this point in time? Maybe you are trying to leave Xiamen. Some of you, you want to stay in Xiamen, but it's like you are not staying in Xiamen. And it looks like you might be leaving. But the idea of your life, the idea of purpose, should come to that understanding that our lives is not ours. And the Lord leads us. Amen. So be encouraged. Irrespective of what is happening in your life, irrespective of how things are going, just know that God is good and God is leading you according to his divine purpose. Amen. So quickly, let's bow down our heads. Let's say a prayer for all of XICF. The future, the past, the present. Let's pray that, Father, let your will be done concerning this church. And the purpose for which you established XICF, Father, we pray that it will have its way in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's pray that the Lord by his own strength would continuously keep the fellowship. In the midst of COVID, in the midst of everything, that the Lord will sustain the church. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. God is good. God is good. I realized sometimes when I'm up there, I'm a bit far away from you. So I want to be closer to you so that I can see your face, so that I can also see those who are sleeping. Amen. So if you are sleeping, I'm just going to be walking towards you and I'll be preaching like this. How are you doing? I'm not saying you sleep. I'm just using as an example. So God is faithful and his mercy endures forever. How many of us were here last Sunday? And how many of us were blessed by the sermon last Sunday? If you are not blessed, don't raise your hand. And I really wanted us to come off with the understanding that we, the chosen in Christ, are the bride of Christ. And he is our bridegroom. And one critical thing I really wanted us to understand is that in the sense of that, there are demands of us as brides. And in the life of being a bride of Christ, we need to be given off onto maturity, faithfulness, purity, holiness, so that we will be ready for his coming. And how many of you liked the comparison between that of the kingdom and that of the traditional Jewish wedding ceremony? Someone came to me and said, so are you saying that in Africa, you all pay over 100 cattle for your bride? I'm saying not in Ghana. Not in Ghana. In East Africa, I think where where Justin is from, right? Every Africa is a continent and with many countries, and every country has its own culture. And in understanding that, you can see some of the resemblance, even in the light of the Jewish culture. And above the Jewish culture, we see how the Lord uses the things of this earth to manifest or to reveal some of the things of heaven. Some of the things of heaven. And today we want to go on further. Beyond the sense of being ready, what are we to expect when our bridegroom comes? What are we to expect? So today's sermon is entitled, The Bridegroom Comes. The Bridegroom Cometh, if you want to put it in King James. The Bridegroom Cometh. And the key verse is from Revelation 22 verse 12. Revelation 22, verse 12. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go! Amen. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. And the King James says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is in my hands. And my reward is in my hands. And I am coming to give each one according to their work. According to your work, you will be rewarded. According to your work, you will be rewarded. And in the light of this, I realize that one critical thing we need to highlight is the idea of death. The idea of death. The idea of death. Because when you look at the coming of Christ and you look at eschatology in general, eschatology is the study of the end times. We see how one critical aspect of it is death. How God is going to relate to them who are dead. The resurrection of the dead. How is it going to be? So I want us to read Hebrews chapter 9, 27 to 28. And I read, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. If you are sitting beside someone, tell the person, after death is judgment. Yes, 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 yes. So we die once. We die once. We die once. And after death, we encounter judgment. And he says, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. Someone tell someone sitting beside you, Christ will appear a second time. If you are sitting alone, you can tell yourself. Christ will appear a second time. And he says that not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So the fullness of salvation is going to be manifest in the appearance of Christ. There is a three-dimensional approach to salvation. We have the salvation of the Spirit, which is instantly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. For the old is gone, the new has come. In the book of Colossians, we see how it says, you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his glorious light. As soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, your spirit is instantly saved. Then it goes on to the soul. The soul is the component of man which contains the will, the mind, and the emotions. And in the light of this, we see according to Romans chapter 12, it says that the soul is progressively saved. That is why when you are born again, your desires are not changed instantly. If you were a hardcore alcoholic and you give your life in the morning, still your desires will be there. But as you conform yourself onto scripture, there is transformation. So Romans chapter 12 literally calls us to a place that I beseech you, brethren, give yourself wholly unto the Lord as your reasonable act of worship, and do not be conformed to the standards of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. And we see that beyond the soul, there is also the flesh. And the Bible also says, for we do not know how we will look like. But one thing we know, that when Christ appears, we will look like him. So in essence of the manifestation of Christ, what happens is our bodily flesh is going to be changed and we will receive a new body. Someone say, amen. Amen. I have a big pimple on my cheek. It's under the flesh. I'm wondering if I receive my new body, if the pimple is going to be there. So the reality of this, in the sense, is that the completion of our salvation is in the second appearance of Christ, who will be resurrected and given new bodies. But in the light of death, the first thing I want to say is death is not the end. Death, how will I say that in Chinese? How will I say that in Chinese? Death is not the end. Someone said I should ask you, and you are telling me to ask someone. Death is not, how will we say that in Chinese? Death is not the end. Hey, so all of your Chinese level is like mine, eh? So death is not the end. When someone dies in Christ, that is not the end. When our family members die, we will see them again. Can I hear an amen? Because one critical aspect of our walk in Christ is the resurrection of the dead. So death is not the end. When we receive Jesus Christ, we receive eternal life. Eternal life is life eternal, beyond death, beginning now beyond death.
because the spirit which we receive in Christ is incorruptible. Amen. So death is not the end. That is the first point I really want to highlight. The second point is the death of Christ is salvation and life unto us. If Christ had not died, you and I would be condemned. If Christ had not died for you and I will be condemned. That is why we need to align ourselves with the death of Christ. Amen. And the third point, we die unto judgment. When we die so that we'll be judged. But when Christ died, he died to become our righteous judge. In the book of Acts, we see how Paul says, for there is only one true God, the creator of heaven and earth. And at the appointed time, he is going to judge all things according to his rule in Jesus Christ. So we see how Jesus Christ, beyond his death, resurrected to become the righteous judge. We move on, and we are going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18. If you have your Bible, you can open it. If you don't have your Bible, you can look on the screen. So I read together, the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. It says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. You see how Paul refers to those who are dead as asleep, because they will rise again. And how many times did Jesus, when he was going to raise someone from the dead, he would say that she is not dead. She is asleep. Because in Christ, we will rise again, victorious over death. It says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. So we do not grieve like the world who have no hope. And who is our hope? Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then he goes on to say, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left unto the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So when Christ is returning, there will be a sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then it goes on to say, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up. This is where the idea and the understanding of the rapture, where we shall be caught up with Christ. At the second appearance of him, we will be caught up, we'll be raptured even with him. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Tell someone sitting beside you, be encouraged. If you have lost a loved one, be encouraged. If you have lost a loved one, be encouraged. And at this point, we want to extend our deepest condolences to Sister Teresa. I think I saw her. Sister Teresa is behind. And Brother Nick, they lost their mother. And also Sister Lily. Where's Sister Lily? She was here. She's downstairs. She also lost her dad over the week. Be encouraged. Indeed, you are grieving, but know this. We do not mourn as though we are hopeless. We mourn knowing that when Christ appears, those who are dead will rise. And we shall be with him forever and ever. Amen. So we continue reading. And in the light of this day, when Christ is coming and the dead, how do we know this day? How do we know that this day? And I remember sharing some time ago how to discern this day. But I want us to read it again. The day of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 to 11. The day of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 to 11. And I read, Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord will be like a thief in the night. Nobody knows when Jesus is returning. Even Jesus himself, he doesn't know. He doesn't know when he himself is coming because only the Father knows. And remember what we did when we were looking at the Jewish tradition of weddings. He said that after the bridegroom has come to secure the bride, he leaves the bride to go and prepare a place for the bride. And guess what happens? Even as he's going through this preparation, it is only the father of the bridegroom that will tell the bridegroom, your preparation is done. Go and bring your bride. In the same light, only the Father knows when the return will be. But we as believers, because we are in the light, we will be able to discern the seasons. We'll be able to know if we are close to that time. And I read, while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains coming upon a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. But you are not in the darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Tell someone, keep awake and be sober. It means be vigilant. Watch unto the day. Watch unto the day of the Lord and be sober. What does it mean to be sober? Keep your eyes clear. Keep your eyes clear from every distraction. Keep your eyes clear from every distraction. And it goes on to say, for those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the second time in the readings where we see the Bible say, encourage one another. In the light of our walk with the Father, you can't walk alone. You can't walk alone. You can't do it all by yourself. You need somebody. You need someone to be with you. In the light of our walk with the Father, you need someone to help you. And even as I say this, I'm not saying that be dependent on people. I'm saying that acknowledge the support of people. And again, I say, the fact that you should acknowledge the support of people, it doesn't mean that anybody who also jumps up, you also need to test the spirit by which they come by. Because some people come to deceive. So the reality I want to say is that we need to be encouraged. And we need to encourage each other. Even as the day draws nigh, let's encourage each other. If you see someone who used to be on fire for the Lord going astray, if you see someone who used to live a godly life, living not so godly life, draw the person back to the Lord. And the best way to do that is to begin in prayer. I always say this, pray more than you talk about a situation. Pray more about the situation than you talk about the situation. If you see anybody going wayward, if you see anybody doing something which is not godly, or somebody is doing something to you, which is, pray more about it than you talk about it. Many people do the opposite. They talk more than they pray about it. And more often than not, the situation gets worse. So the Bible admonishes us, let us be vigilant. Let us be sober. So that the day will not catch us by surprise. Because we are children of light. We are children who discern the seasons and the times. And in the light of this coming, how is it going to be? What visual image has the Bible given us? Let's read Revelation chapter 19, 11 to 21. Revelation 19, 11 to 21. Can I get someone to read for me? Can I get someone? Brother Soafio, can you read for me? Can we get him a microphone? Let's get him a microphone so our brother Soa can read for us. Revelation 19, 11 to 21.
Revelation 19, 11 to 21, and it reads, "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury with the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, 'Come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great.' And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in its pretense has done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh." Amen.
Amen. So we see a very vivid picture of the second coming by word of prophecy from Big Brother John. So we see how it's going to be so different from his first coming. Now let's look at the differences. His first coming and his second coming. Let's look at the differences. In his first coming, he came and at a point, he was riding on a donkey. But in his second coming, he will come riding on a white horse. The symbol of a white horse means the all-powerful one, the all-victorious one. The second point, he came in his first coming as a suffering servant, but he will come in the second coming as a triumphant king. Not coming as a servant, but coming in the splendor of his kingship. Then the third point, he came in his first coming in all humility and meekness, sleeping in a manger. But in his second coming, he will come in majesty and power. His eyes will be like flaming fire. Out of his mouth will come sword. So much power manifestation. He will come with so much power that his enemies are going to be thwarted and destroyed. Then the fourth point, he came to suffer for the wrath of God for sinners. But in the second coming, he will come to establish the kingdom of God for his saints, trampling and destroying the enemy's kingdom. He will come to establish the kingdom of God. The next point, in his first coming, he was rejected by many as the Messiah. But in the second coming, he will be recognized by all as Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I like singing this song, but it sounds much better when I sing it in my local dialect. Oh, you're right. Oh, you're right. Why so you fear woofum? Oh, you're right. Oh, you're right. Koto deni na be koto. Tetrema be pay mwakan. Say Jesus. Oh, you're right. In his second coming, he's not coming to dilly-dally and present himself. Oh, he is coming to show power. And he's coming to establish and break the reign of the enemy. He is coming to represent the full splendor of God, establishing the will of the Father even in the end times, establishing and fulfilling the prophetic concerning that which was spoken of him as the ruler of all eternity. And we will be with him. Amen. We will be with him even as he reigns. The final point. In the first coming, he came in the flesh as God. But in the second coming, he will come as God in all his splendor. He will come as God in all his splendor and all his power. But in the light of his coming, what is the most important thing we ought to know? From what we read from Revelation chapter 19, we see how he is going to rule and the tyranny of the Antichrist. We see how he's going to bring judgment. We see how he's going to establish the kingdom of God. Now I want us to read Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. I think we read it before. And he says he is coming soon. And he is bringing his reward. He's bringing his reward to every single person according to your work. Now the question I'm asking is, what is the work you are doing? If you are sitting beside someone, shake the person by the shoulder and ask the person, what work are you doing? Shake the person by the shoulder and say, hey, my brother, my sister, what work are you doing? So in the light of that, we have to come to terms with the types of judgment. And there are many types of judgment, but I picked just these as highlighted for our edification. And the first form of judgment I want to highlight is the judgment of believers. The judgment of believers. In Psalm 1, verse 5, I want you to open your Bible and follow me even as we read so that you can get a deeper understanding. In Psalm 1, verse 5, we see how the wicked will not even stand in judgment. It says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So there is a type of judgment where even the sinners will not be there. Then he goes on to 1 Peter 4, 17 to 18. He says, for it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. There is a judgment which is peculiar to the household of God. There is judgment that is for the church. And it continues to say in 1 Peter 4, 17, he says, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? If judgment is beginning in the church, what will be the outcome for those who don't obey? So you see that it is not enough being born again. You ought to believe. It is not enough coming to church on Sunday and looking good in your new hairstyle or your new shirt. You ought to believe. You ought to obey. And it goes on to say, and if the righteous will be scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Then we read Matthew chapter 12, 36 to 37. It says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account of every careless word they speak. Every careless word you speak, you will give account. Now take time and think of the words you speak. The words I speak, do they glorify the Lord? For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Then there's another form of judgment, which is called the Bema Seat Judgment. The Bema Seat Judgment, or the judgment of Christ. And I read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body. So for what you have done in the body, you will appear before Christ to receive what is due you. What have you done in the body of Christ? What are you doing as a believer? How are you working the kingdom of God into manifestation? We shall all appear before Christ to receive what is due us for the work in the body. Then in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15, he says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one of their works will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. And even with reference to the work you are doing now, maybe you are a preacher, maybe you are an usher, maybe you are working on the PPT, Brother Roxon. On that day, your work will be passed through fire. And what will that work be tested for? What was the motive behind your workings? What was the motive behind what you were doing? Did you even give your all, even as you served? And it goes on to say, that day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire. And remember what Revelation chapter 19 says, in his eyes are what? Fire. So the fire of the Lord Jesus Christ will disclose everybody's works. And it goes on to say, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If the work anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. I say this with all fear and trembling. As we await the second coming of our Lord, it's not just enough to get to heaven. The regret that people will have by not serving the Lord and giving their all will be very dangerous. And I encourage you as your pastor, don't just be comfortable by being a Christian. Desire to go further in your walk with the Lord. Desire to go further. And there's an aspect of the judgment that I read that I want to draw your attention. Matthew chapter 12, verse 41 to 42. It says, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Then it goes on to say, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with his generation, with this generation, and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Why this? I want to highlight the intra-judgment and the judgment of to whom much is given, much is expected. In this generation, we are blessed to have a lot. We are blessed to have the internet. If you just search, you will find good news and start reading. We are blessed to have books. We are blessed to have things at our disposal to encourage us in our walk. But are we utilizing it? Are we utilizing it? To whom much is given, much is expected. Tell the person sitting beside you, to whom much is given, much is expected. Now going forward, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46, it speaks of the judgment of nations. And in this judgment, the Lord will ask you, did you take care of the least of my brethren? Did you take care of the least of my brethren? Contextually, this is referring to the Jewish people and the essence of the tribulation and how the Gentiles at that point should be moved to show compassion to the Jews. But in a broader picture, we are the body of Christ. And being part of the body of Christ, we need to care for one another. Do you care for your brother? Do you care for your sister? Are you being a blessing to your sister? He will say, be far away of me. Be far away from me. You work off iniquity. Because when I was hungry, you did not give me to eat. When I was thirsty, you did not give me to drink. And you will say, but Jesus, when were you thirsty that I didn't give you? And you respond, when my brother was thirsty and asked you, you didn't. When my son was thirsty and asked you, you didn't bother. As believers, one thing I'm always reminding us of is the commission to the underprivileged and the least of society. God has called us to show love and care to them. And by this, we will also be judged. Can I get an amen? I know what I'm saying. Some of you are like, Pastor, today you are not joking. You are just saying that I'm very grateful to God. We are just reading scripture. And I'm just adding a little bit of interpretation with reference to godly hermeneutics. So moving forward, I want us to read again, Revelation 3 verse 11. 1, 2, 3, go. It says, I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Jesus is coming soon. And he's telling you, hold on fast to what you have. What do you have? You have the word of God. What do you have? You have faith in Christ. What do you have? You have the fellowship of the brethren. And he's saying that, hold on fast to it so that nobody will take your crown. So there are rewards. And as part of these rewards, there are crowns. But the unfortunate thing is that people will take other people's crowns because they will not do what God is expecting of them. If God is calling you to do something, you must be obedient. Because if you are not obedient and you stand before him in judgment, you will not get the crown. And from that scripture, we see that you would see that this crown was meant for me, but someone else has taken your crown. So let's go through scripture and let's look at some of the descriptions of the crowns that are available to us. The first crown I want to touch on, the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. Brother Soa, can you read for us from 2 Timothy 2, 4 to 8?
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
So there is a crown, which is described as a crown of righteousness for those who love the appearance of Christ. Some of us, we are too eager for the things of this earth that we are forgetting about the coming of Jesus Christ. And he says that this crown is for everyone, every person who loves the appearance of Jesus Christ. A crown for those ready and waiting for the second coming of Christ. Righteousness is only by faith. So the bridegroom comes. Those of us who are eagerly waiting for the bridegroom and working accordingly, there is a crown of righteousness. The second crown, the incorruptible crown, it is described as incorruptible. Big brother, can you read for us? 1 Corinthians 9:25.
And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible.
Everybody who is in this world and is working their heart off, they do it for something which shall perish. Those who are doing, they are building companies, those who are running for president, those who are doing things, those who are running, they are doing all those things for crowns that will perish. But we who are called to live a life of Christ, we are called to live for a crown that will not perish. And the third crown, but I want to highlight this. It says that there is an important part of mastery of temperate, mastering self-control. So the incorruptible crown is also a crown for people who have brought their bodies under subjection and disciplined themselves. Those who have brought their bodies under subjection and have disciplined themselves. Amen. So we go on to the crown of life. Can we read again from James chapter 1 verse 12?
Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
So we see another crown called the crown of life. And I read also from Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. It says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast many of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The crown of life is a crown for people who have patiently endured trials and persecution. It is for the people who have bravely confronted persecution, and for those who have stood to the point of death for Jesus Christ. They will receive a crown of life. In Nigeria, I read the story of a bus where two women were shot dead. But the funny thing was, they were shot dead because everybody in the bus said they were not Christians. But the Boko Haram people said, deny your faith. And these things, I thought they were only in books. I didn't know it was happening in real life till I read that story. And they said they will not deny their faith. And they were shot. One of the people who was a Christian but said, I'm not a Christian, and ran away. She came back begging and pleading for the church to pray for her. And she explained the gruesome death of how one of them was singing a song in Igbo. And the song was saying that, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. For those who will stand, and that's the funny thing. We are being persecuted on a lighter note, and we feel like the whole world is coming to an end. God is faithful. God is faithful. The crown of life will be given to those who will stand through persecution. Then we have the crown of glory. The crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:2-4. Can you read for us, big brother?
Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Amen.
Who is the chief shepherd? Jesus Christ. And he's telling you, feed the flock. Feed the flock. Those of you who are in small groups, care for one another. Encourage one another to study the word. Disciple. Disciple. And he says that if you do that, when the chief shepherd arrives, you receive a crown of glory. If you feed members of your family, if you are giving your children the word of God to grow, if your focus is for people around you to grow in the word, there is a crown ready for you. He says, for those who will feed the flock, there is a crown of glory. And the final category, the final one of the other crown, the final crown I saw is a crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? And are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, his coming? And he says, the crown of rejoicing will be our crown, where God shall wipe away all the tears from our eyes, and shall there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things shall be passed away. Highlighting Revelation 21 verse 4. The crown of rejoicing is when the final enemy of death and sorrow are cast into the lake of fire. So I want to say this. There are crowns to be won. There are crowns to be rewarded with. Our bridegroom cometh. He cometh to complete salvation in us, and he cometh to reward us. I want to encourage you. I encourage you to pursue the Lord with all your heart and with all your might. Prioritize the things of God. Give yourself wholly unto the Lord. Serve the Lord. Let your light so shine. Yesterday night, I was bathing. As I was bathing, a song just dropped into my spirit, and I started singing. And my wife said, this is nobody's song, right? I said, yes. I just heard it in my heart in the bathroom, and I started singing it. And the words of the song, I think I didn't record it, so after 2 hours, I forgot it. So the lyrics of the song was this: let your light shine, for we are light of the world. Let your light shine, for darkness comprehendeth at not. Let your light shine. Don't just be happy being a nominal Christian, where you just come and warm the pews. You warm the pews every Sunday. The only time you remember you're a Christian is Sunday morning. Remember, there are rewards to be won. Remember that there is a second coming of Christ, where our works will be tested. And there's a scripture in Revelation that says that, woe unto the earth, for the devil cometh and has been cast down with all his vengeance. Woe unto the earth. And they add a small portion. It says, for he knows he has no time. Even the devil knows he doesn't have time. But yet, Christians are eagerly pursuing things that will not build heavenly inheritance. So even as I conclude with this statement. Ready yourself, for our bride comes. We have no time. Ready yourselves, for our bride cometh, for we have no time. It is my desire that even in the short time, long time, whichever time I serve as a pastor of XICF, it is my desire that we will all begin to prioritize that which is important. It is my desire that the word of God will be alive in our hearts, and that our lives will be shaped according to the priority of the kingdom. And you can begin with your family. Start with your wife. Start with your husband. Start with your children. Give them the word of God. If you are single, start with yourself. Study the word of God. And live the word of God out. Let's stand to our feet. And I want to just give us 1 minute for you to speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord based on what you have heard. Speak to the Lord based on the things that have been spoken to you. Speak to the Lord. And I want you to speak from the depth of your heart unto him. And just like the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, if you know your lamp is lacking oil, if you know your relationship with the Lord is running sour, if you know you are not prioritizing your walk with the Father, you want to say, Father, help me. Shall we share the words of the grace? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. I pray for you that even as you enter into this week, even as you go, may today's word be continuously on your heart. May your mind be cast onto the second coming of Christ. May those of you that have to dream dreams, may the Lord dream you a dream. May those of you that have to be given unto the study of the Lord, may the Lord stir you up to study his word. May those of you who have to repent and genuinely pursue the Lord, may the Lord cause you and convict you unto repentance. In Jesus' mighty name have we worshipped. Amen. XICF, you are dismissed. Remember, there is fellowship table downstairs. Remember, there's fellowship table downstairs. So go grab coffee. If you want us to pray for you, you are not well, you are going through situations, you want us to pray for you, or you just need words of encouragement, you can come forward. I myself am here. The elders are around. We'll definitely pray for you, and we'll definitely encourage you. God bless you. See you next week. Love you.